The Corsican Brothers, from the novel by Alexandre Dumas. There is a strange turn of events in the lives of Marianne Guidici and Lucien de Franchi. Each belongs to a family which has hated the other through centuries. And now that Lucien is prisoner and is to be flogged by the Guidici, Marianne realizes that she is overwhelmingly in love with him. So when her father hears of a plot to effect his escape and plans to trap Lucien's mother as well, Marianne sets Lucien free earlier on the appointed evening so that he can warn his mother and escape with her back to the north of Corsica. After Marianne has released him from his room and taken him across the scented rose garden through the little gate in the wall and down the rough, twisted path which leads to the gorge and to his horse, she finally bids him a fond farewell. She tells him that this must write finish to a love that is hopeless, which would be regarded as a dishonor by both families since they are hated enemies. And so we find Marianne straining her eyes in the darkness which has enveloped her lover, Lucien, and his horse.
Goodbye, Lucien. Goodbye forever.
Slowly and wearily she turns and walks back along the path towards her father's great stone house. But her thoughts are still with the rider and his horse, which picks its way sure-footedly in spite of the darkness down the steep, tortuous path which leads to the waterfall. Soon Lucien passes the waterfall. It was here at 12 o'clock that he was supposed to have met his mother and Griffo. It was here that at 12 o'clock the Guidici had arranged to trap all three of them. Now, however, if he follows the path further along for several miles, he will meet his mother and Griffo, intercept them, and they will escape. Soon a new moon climbs out over the horizon, and as miles separate him from Marianne and the old stone house, he begins to wonder if destiny has planned that they shall ever meet again. Suddenly, from out of the darkness, there is a voice.
Stop! Don't move! Put your hands high in the air.
Is there any need?
Huh? Why, that voice. Lucien! Is it really you?
Yes, Griffo.
But I don't understand. Well, we were to meet you at midnight. It's not yet 9:30 and...
If you had met me at midnight, Griffo, that would have been the finish for you and my mother and for me.
Where is she? Where is Madame?
She has drawn a horse back there in the trees. We were on our trip along this path to the waterfall there to await for your coming. Then we heard the sound of your horse. We thought that you might be a scout of the Guidici. Oh, all I can be thankful for is that I didn't fire.
I knew that I'd meet you along the way. Now, quickly. Quickly, Griffo. Let's go to my mother. She'll hear our voices. She'll wonder what's happening. Mother! Mother!
It's all right. She's heard you. She'll be as surprised as I am. This talk of yours, Lucien. What was to happen if we had met you at the waterfall?
It would have been a trap. The old woman, Lucia. She told the Guidici everything.
Ah, that cheat. The liar and the cheat. I paid her to help us.
Mother!
Lucien, it's you. You. Oh, Lucien.
Oh, Mother.
What does it all mean?
I'll tell you as we ride. We mustn't waste a minute. As soon as they've discovered that I've escaped...
Oh, Lucien, you're alive and well.
As well as I could expect, I suppose. But I must warn you, Mother, that I can't gallop all the way.
You were wounded.
Oh, yes, but if we take our horses at a quick trot, I think it'll be safe enough. After all, we'll have had 4 hours' start.
And I know an untried way, a way by which they'll never find us if they wanted to follow Lucien.
Ah, good for you, Griffo. Oh, it's wonderful to be back with you, alive, safe, and well. Oh, so much has happened.
So much has happened since you have been away, my son. There is a tremendous surprise in store for you.
Surprise?
Yes, but it is dangerous to wait here. We must be on the move. Later, when we reach home, I will tell you everything, my son. Everything about you and Louis.
Louis?
It will keep, my son. Griffo, you lead the way and hurry.
Meanwhile, Marianne, with beating heart, opened the little gate in the stone wall once again and stole through the perfumed rose garden to the terrace, then up the steps to her own room. There she sat listening to the great clock in the hall chime the hours, the quarter hours, and the half hours. As each hour sped by, confidence ebbed back into her being like the tide slowly enveloping the shore of an island. Each hour meant so many more miles between herself and her loved one. Then suddenly, from down in the courtyard, there came a cry. The cry was repeated again and again, and soon there were a babble of voices. The escape of Lucien de Franchet had been discovered. But still Marianne sat in the deep, low chair near her bed, her mind lingering on the memories of the last tender farewell with Lucien. Then suddenly the door burst open, and her uncle Pietro was standing framed in the doorway.
Marianne, you have heard?
What?
Terrible news. Frightful news. He's escaped.
Who?
De Franchet. By some inexplicable, extraordinary means, Lucien de Franchet escaped from his room.
Indeed.
Everything was in readiness for midnight. The old hag, Lucia, went to the room a few minutes ago, ready to lead him to the waterfall, where in the last half hour some of our men had been posted. And to her amazement, she found the room empty, although the door was locked. Your father is a raving madman.
I'm not surprised at that.
None dare to go near him. Lucia is in fear of her life. Look, listen. There he goes now. Can you hear him?
I can hear him.
Cussing and storming at everybody and everything. It's a cruelty, a torture, Marianne. To think that we had this De Franchet in the hollow of our hand, that we could have killed him outright, like that. We didn't do it. Now he is free once again. He and his mother and the other one free to cut our throats if they get a chance. No, curse him for the cunning and shrewdness that he showed. Oh, there's your father storming again. Now come down to him, Marianne. You are the only one who'll be able to pacify him. Foaming at the lips, I fear that a fit will seize him if he's not quietened down.
I'm not going.
You're not?
No, I prefer to stay here. I just do not want to go.
I don't blame you for not wanting to face your father, but why, Marianne, this doesn't seem to affect you at all.
Nothing does now. Not ever will again, Uncle Pietro. Storms, floods, fires, my father's wrath, wild beasts, death, hunger, cold, hate. None of these things mean anything to me anymore. Everything is meaningless.
Marianne, this is not you talking.
No, it is not Marianne. Marianne doesn't exist anymore.
My dear, you've not been yourself for days and days. You're depressed, moody. And now, this new mood of yours, you need a change.
Change would make no difference, because everything is the same from now on. Leave me, Uncle Pietro. I would rather stay up here alone. You go to Father. Look after him. He'll get over it.
Yes, but you...
Leave me, please.
It doesn't make any difference that this hated enemy of ours has escaped.
I've forgotten him.
And yet a few days ago, your fury against him, your hater. So never forget it. I'm surprised you're not as upset as your father.
Perhaps it's because I'm not Marianne Gedici any longer. Please leave me, Uncle. Go to Father.
Well, as you say.
I'm not a woman any longer. How can I be a woman when my feelings, my emotions, my heart, my very soul have been torn out from me, taken away, taken across Corsica, far away to the north, while I, the cadaver, the shell, exist here in the south.
Him. It's so lovely to see you.
Really, you overwhelm me.
But I've been so bored. And when Mama arranged with your Mama that you could spend a whole week with me here at home. Oh, Annette, I'm so glad that you've come.
Why?
I need you. I need you terribly.
I knew it. Your Papa has spoken to you about this Captain Chateau Renaud.
How did you know?
Well, after all, you've been outrageous, Emily. It's a wonder he didn't speak to you before. Many tongues are wagging all over Paris. You seem to have entirely forgotten that you're betrothed to Louis Prevost, who's gone off to Corsica.
Oh, him. I wish he'd stay in silly old Corsica. Oh, Annette, you've no idea how fascinating Paul is. His voice, the way his arms feel around you.
Really?
And when he kisses you.
Don't be disgusting.
Disgusting? What's disgusting about it? It's all disgusting.
The fact that you're allowing this man to make love to you.
You're saying that because you don't like him. Because he made a joke about you.
I'm not.
Yes, you are. But please forget any dislike that you might have in it. Think only of your cousin and the fact that you can help her.
Meaning that I can help you?
Yes. It's quite true what you said. Papa called me in. Somebody has told him that Captain Chateau Renaud and I have seen a great deal of each other. Papa, of course, is very fond of my fiancé. Papa has told me that I must not see Captain Chateau Renaud again.
But how can I help?
Tonight we retire early. After we retire, Annette, I want you to say to Mama when she comes to kiss me goodnight that I'm already asleep. I want you to say to any of the servants who might come that I am not to be disturbed. Oh, that's why I'm so glad you're here, so that you can help me.
What are you going to do? Don't tell me you're going to receive Captain Chateau Renaud in your boudoir.
No, Annette, but we have it all arranged. I'm going to elope with Captain Renaud.
Annette stared in amazement at Amélie as she uttered these words. Her thoughts traveled to the letter which she had written unbeknownst to Amélie, a letter which was already bringing Amelia's fiancé post-haste from Corsica. What will Annette do now? And how will this affect Louis Flaveau, whom we know now to be one of the Corsican brothers?